Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Something kind of new happens on the NFL calendar, on the Bills calendar. We've made it. It is the end of the off-season program for the Buffalo Bills and other NFL teams. This is it. We're done. The next time the Buffalo Bills convene as a team will be, I believe, July 22nd will be report date. Not official yet. For training camp at St. John Fisher. First date of practice, if you go by the math of the CBA, will be July 23rd. Now that, again, is unofficial, but there's kind of structure to this, right? And the structure would be 47 days report, 46 days first practice. So that takes you to July 23rd because the first regular season game is September 7th. So 46, 47 days from there. Today is June 13th. Ooh, it's Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th. I didn't even think about that until today. Josh, are you a Friday the 13th? Like, do you think about that as a, because of the, I guess it's because of the movies, but I think even before then, the movie came out because Friday the 13th was considered an unlucky day and a bad day.
Yeah, I'm a very superstitious person, so I do believe Friday the 13th has some weird magic going on. I didn't even know it was Friday the 13th either until this morning on SportsCenter. They did 13 not top plays, and I was like, why are they doing 13? Ooh. And then I looked at the date. But yeah. It definitely has more significance, though, I think, during, like, Halloween time. Like, when it's in October, that's when I'm like, all right, throw salt over the shoulder, and what else is there? You have to knock on wood, obviously. Like, other what else is there that's, like, good luck stuff? I don't even know, but.
Speaking of knock on wood, that's the term Brandon Bean used yesterday when I asked him if he's confident that all of the players who've missed time here in OTAs and especially this week in minicamp will be ready to go at training camp. He said, knock on wood, and he knocked on his own head. And then he said, yeah, he thinks that's the case. And we will hear from Brandon Bean. You'll hear that at the bottom of the hour. We're going to replay Brandon Bean from yesterday for you because I don't think this audience has heard Brandon Bean. And he went for about 15 minutes yesterday with the local media. So we'll bring that to you because that was after practice yesterday, his parting words, basically. And talking about the James Cook situation, talking about Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, Joey Bosa, injured players, all of that from Brandon Bean. We're going to hear from him at 10:30. At 11 a.m., our buddy John Scott, Channel 2 sports director, WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll talk about and ask and get his perspective on what he's seen through OTAs and minicamp with the Buffalo Bills. I want to get your thoughts on some of the kind of lingering questions that are out there a little bit today. So we'll get to that here in a little while. Welcome in as the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, good to be with you. Haven't been here in this time slot really for the whole time this week because I've been down covering OTAs and this week minicamp. So thank you very much to Derek and Zach and Josh who've been along with you all week. You'll get Derek and who's in today? 12 to 3.
Oh, it's Derek and Zach.
It is Derek and Zach today. Yep. Okay, sorry. All for the 12 to 3 today because I know that the crew down at One Bills Live and Sabres Live are not in today. So you'll get Derek and Zach today from 12 to 3. So don't worry if you're a Kramer and Jones fan. Have they settled on that? I have to ask them. Is it Kramer and Jones? Jones and Kramer? Have they?
It's gaining more traction for sure. I think we got to get some more. That could really be a big thing. I think that.
I'm telling you, it sounds like a. A cop series, doesn't it? Kramer and Jones.
Yeah, and one of them's like a goofy cop, and the other one's like a hardened vet.
And I think we both know which guy that is for each, right? Yeah, I think we both know which one we would go there. Anyway, if you miss Kramer and Jones, don't worry; they'll be back. 12 to 3 today is when you'll hear them here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, so I want to open up the phone lines on this Friday before we get to Brandon Bean at the bottom of the hour. From yesterday, John Scott at the top of the next hour at 11 a.m. And ask you a question that you've been asked. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. This question has been asked. I think it was asked on the morning show this week, but I'm going to steal it because I haven't gotten into this conversation yet, and I think it's fascinating because I think there's a number of different ways you can go. So apologies and forgiveness, hopefully, from Jeremy and Joe, because I think they asked this question as a topic, but I'm going to ask you today. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And when you call me at 803-0550, that's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Question is simple. Who is the second most important player on the Buffalo Bills? So Josh is obviously the first most important player. Who is the second most important? And I could even extend that and say, who's the second most important on offense? And then who's the most important on defense? You wanted to give me that. That's fine. Outside of Josh Allen, who's the most important on offense and who's the most important on defense? This is not the same question for 2025, by the way. This is just for this season, who's the most important player? And I think that they got to the question because of the James Cook situation, right? Like because of what's happening and it's, well, how important is James Cook to the offense? And people said, boy, he's the second most important player behind Josh. Is he? Is James Cook really the second most important player? If you take him off the offense, right, and Ray Davis has to play, what is the drop-off? What is the change? You could make that argument. You could do it somewhere else on the offense, okay? Or you could look at it another way, not saying, what if you're without that guy? What if there's a guy who actually really hits, right, and says, man, that guy's important because if he really plays to what they think he can be and he should be, man, that could be a big difference maker. How about on the defensive side? Same thing. Who's the second most important player? I'm sorry, who's the most important player on the defense for the Buffalo Bills? Because I think through the last few weeks, I've kind of had a few different answers for this. And that's why I want to throw it out to you. 803-0550 is the telephone number. I'd love for you to call me here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. The Bills will be getting back to St. John Fisher for training camp this year. That will happen in July. And I realized yesterday that when I was down at One Bills Drive, the new stadium, it looks fantastic. Like, you're watching practice, and it used to be where you couldn't see as much unless it was like the leaves were gone kind of in the fall. But even now with the trees and everything in full bloom, it doesn't matter. It's so big. It's massive, and it's coming out there, and you see it. And I realized yesterday, like, I might go down to the stadium for something between now and, you know, July and then August. They'll have the return of the blue and red. But a lot of you, a lot of us, even me, like, we're not going to see that stadium again until, like, August. Or, I guess, yeah, end of July, early August, return of the blue and red, and then preseason. And, man, it was coming along. It was just kind of striking to me yesterday. Like, man, it's going to be even more built. Not really higher. It's as high as it's going to go. But I was down there yesterday and saw that, and I realized yesterday, man, I'm not going to be down here for a while again. I guess that's the point. Like, okay, we're done. I've been going down to the stadium for draft stuff and press conferences and free agent press conferences and signings and then OTAs and rookie mini camp. And now, bam, that's it until probably the end of July, early August. And that's where we all are. And that's where we are with football right now. Who are the Bills' most important players other than Josh Allen? One on offense, one on defense. I'd like you to answer that question for me today at 803-0550 because I have some thoughts. And it's not like a hard and true because I could go a number of different ways on these thoughts. But I've kind of realized a couple things watching OTAs and minicamp. And I want to get to those with you here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. If we get a chance, and I'm hoping to, but we'll see, just depending on how things go, we'll also give you Josh Allen and bring you Josh Allen from when he spoke to the media this week as well here on the Extra Point Show today. Dave in Buffalo starts us off. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for taking my call. I thought your question was an interesting one because it really made me realize that actually Brandon Bean and McDermott have constructed this team where the emphasis is really on the next man up. And that's true for basically every position except for quarterback. We have no expectation that the quarterback to replace Josh is going to be able to replace him because Josh is so good. But for virtually every other position, if not all of them, the next man up is a guy where you feel like with Cook's situation, you know, sorry to lose a guy if we have to lose him, but I don't feel bad about going into the season with Davis as my next choice and maybe even Ty as my third guy who moves up to the second choice. And, heck, maybe now's the time to go out and get somebody on the free agent market who can even be another choice is there. But
and how about this? How about the preseason that Frank Gore Jr. put together last year? He's developed a little bit, right? I mean, like, you have a good stable there. And Darrington Evans, he's done a nice job in this league at different times.
Yeah, but I think McDermott and Bean have carefully constructed this team so that really that there is nobody who's so critical to the team except for Josh, who you can never replace, that is that second most important person. So, you know, there is no player. I would say that actually it's Bean and McDermott really are the ones who are number two in importance to this team because it's just been constructed where everybody eats is the mantra on the offense. And actually the question I'm interested is there a mantra for the defense this year, some phrase that summarizes things, like maybe rotation is key so that
It's more of the, I think it goes back to the 111th, do your 111th, right? I think that's what it is. And it goes to your point, Dave. It's a really unique point you make, and I like your point. And this actually dovetails a little bit into something that we talked about, Dave, and I've talked about here last couple of months and really before the draft. I don't know if you remember, Dave, but we did an exercise here, and Matt Bove and I did it specifically on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, where we compared Brandon Bean's drafts to Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And the thing that struck out by comparing it, this isn't a point about comparing their drafts specifically, but the thing that stuck out about Brandon Bean's drafts are exactly what you said. He has not really hit on the all-pro players across the board and had these guys like Josh Allen. There's been a few. Taron Johnson, obviously, is fantastic. It's been a great draft pick. But what Brandon Bean has done, to your point, Dave, and I agree with this, is his drafts, if you look across the board, he's drafted the floor. He's raised the floor of this team and of this roster. And when you say next man up, I agree with you. it's raising the floor, and then you develop those guys, and if you have to play them, they come in. Your Jamarcus Ingrams, your Cam Lewis's, your Dane Jackson's back in the day, your Damar Hamlin's. Now, these aren't all pro players, but these are quality players who you can play and start a season with.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Rousseau, for example, I expect Rousseau to have a big step up this year, which is really going to be great because he was very good last year. But the reason I think he's going to step up is not so much that he develops as a player, but that Bosa is really going to attract a lot of attention. Bosa doesn't really have to produce except from here and there, because if the offense is forced to take care of Bosa, then that means more one-on-ones for Rousseau, and that's why Rousseau is going to have a great year, because he's, you know, they can't focus on him at all. So this really is a great team. So I'm really pleased with all they've done.
You got it, Dave. Good call. I appreciate it. But happy Father's Day to you, if you're a father. But if not, even happy Father's Day to you, I guess, this weekend.
Well, even
thanks,
if you're
Dave.
Not a father, you had a father. So Father's Day.
There you go. There you go. So thank you. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. All right. Good call there. I like it. And it does get me to the point of kind of where I want to go with kind of how Dave phrased it there in a different sort of way. Because while he says, I don't have a player, but it's McDermott and Bean. See, I don't have a player either on defense when I say this. I think it might be whoever wins the number two cornerback job. It's got, like, that's the spot. It's not the player. Is Tre'Davious White necessarily the most important defender on the Bills this year? No. Is Max Harrison? No. But you better figure out cornerback two and have somebody capable there. And it's between those guys, really, right? I mean, that's the way we look at it right now. Tre'Davious White and Max Harrison. And I think that, like, out of those guys, that spot is the most important spot on the defense because of what it can mean for the rest. That is not to take away, like, how important Terrell Bernard is. Of course he is. He's the middle linebacker. How important Matt Milano is, because, of course, if Matt Milano is great and gets back to all-pro form, oh, my God, right? No doubt. But, man, think about the difference, right? To me, it's the difference between what you could get from that corner two spot and what you might not get, and now what happens in the secondary. But even that said, after this week, this is not an indictment on anybody who actually played this week when I say this, but after this week and seeing Cole Bishop on the sidelines not playing, again with, you know, being out during a critical portion of the offseason, I'll call it critical, an important part, I guess, of the offseason, minicamp, when he missed most of training camp last year, I think Cole Bishop could very well be considered the most important defender this year simply because you need him to be what you invested in him. And if he's not, what does that look like? Now, Taylor Rapp is entrenched as, to me, their number one safety, if you want to label it that way. And I'm a Cam Lewis fan, you know that. And if Cam Lewis has to play safety, okay, they'll be okay. Damar Hamlin pretty much started all last year. And we can say, like, yeah, he wasn't that great. He wasn't terrible, folks. He really wasn't. He gave you a baseline type of play. The question is baseline type of play good enough? And I think all of us would say, no, you need more than that. Considering the defense and some of its struggles last year, not like they got beat over the top a lot, right? It happened a few times. It happened once in the playoff game. It happened once actually when Cole Bishop was on the field against the Houston Texans. And you could pick out a play or two here or there. But after seeing Cole Bishop on the sidelines again during minicamp, and he was doing some stuff with trainers, right? And he's going to be okay for training camp, and you hope that he stays okay. I could very well get to Cole Bishop's the most important player. Like that could be something that I land on. 803-0550 is the telephone number here to give me a call. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about who the most important Bills are on the offensive side other than Josh Allen, and who the most important Bill is on the defensive side. So the second most important players behind Josh Allen, one on each side of the ball, if you'd like to give me that here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So Brandon Bean talked yesterday. We're going to hear from him at the bottom of the hour. We'll replay that for you. He did say that Cole Bishop, the aforementioned Joey Bosa from the caller, and everybody else who did not participate in camp, in minicamp, is going to be able to be ready for training camp. Joey Bosa is also an important player, but for him, I look at the importance as, wow, it's almost like a bonus with Bosa, right? Now, if you don't get Joey Bosa healthy at all this year and he just never really hits and he's never out in the field, I think it could be in trouble as far as your pass rush. But if you get snippets of him and he can help come in, he can contribute, he's going to help, and that's nice. If you could get like a peak Joey Bosa? I don't know if that's possible. But if you can get like the higher end of Joey Bosa, I mean, now you're really talking about a defense that I think could make a dramatic shift and a dramatic jump and leap from where they were last year because of how important pass rush has been, and they haven't been able to do it when they needed to over the last few years in these big critical moments. So I think Joey Bosa falls into this category for a different reason. See, that's what I mean by, boy, if you want to go on the defensive side and say, who's the most important? You can get to people, but they're important for different reasons. And that's why I don't think there's not a right answer here, right? Everybody's got their own opinion. I think Cole Bishop is extremely important and could very well be the answer to this, simply because they invested a second round pick in a safety that they need to develop to be a higher end safety, to be athletic, take the ball away, play in all situations. They got a baseline play at safety last year from their second guy, not Taylor Rapp, who had a couple injuries, from their second guy, DeMar Hamlin, made a couple plays here or there, but overall, you'd like more. That has to be Cole Bishop to me. That's why he's important. You go to this corner spot, it's not one player, it's a spot. It's corner two. We know Christian Benford is going to be the cornerback number one. We know he just got paid for good reason. He's a very, very good cornerback in this league. Fits this system perfectly. You need someone opposite him, whether it's first-round pick Max Hairston, veteran Tre'Davious White, or someone else, to be really, really capable there. Like, I'm talking like maybe not to the numbers that Rasul Douglas gave you a year and a half ago for that half year he was in Buffalo when he got traded here, but you knew that Rasul Douglas was on the other side, and they're like, okay, you're good. You're going to this game. Like, something big could happen over there. Maybe that's Max Hairston. Now, Max Hairston had that tweak of the hammy, and you hope that he's okay, and you hope that he, you know, is exactly fine for training camp and he gets through. I'm not handing him the job, though. In fact, right now, I think when this team goes to training camp, the way I look at it, Tre'Davious White is the starting second corner. It is not, to me, Tre'Davious White's job to lose, and it's not Max Harrison's job to lose. I think it's a battle. I think it's literally a competition. But I do think Max Hairston has to prove he can beat out a veteran in Tre'Davious White. And what does that look like? What does Max Hairston beating out Tre'Davious White look like? Well, A, he's got to make some plays, right? We know that. But maybe more importantly than actually making plays is understanding the defense and not making critical mistakes. At that position, you can't make mistakes. You can't make rookie mistakes. You can't make guessing mistakes. That's not Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White's never been a true like ball hawk, but he's always been, before his injuries, he was a super consistent guy who knew the defense, understood it, physical enough, not super physical, physical enough. Like that's where Tre'Davious White's the guy that Max Hairston has to beat him out, I think. But he's going to get every opportunity to do that. Folks, I could go to Matt Milano being a very important player here. I know it sounds weird. I think backup middle linebacker is important because of the way that Terrell Bernard plays at his size. If he has to miss a game or two like he did last year, you need someone in there. And last year, that didn't look great when he was out. Let's get to Jeff in Angola, who's got an answer. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you think?
I definitely think on the offensive line, it's either Deion Dawkins or Spencer Brown having the anchor on the line there for sure.
Yeah, I think Spencer Brown is the type of player that what we've seen from him so far, we could be talking about him as a Pro Bowl player even better by the end of this year. And when you're talking about that, I think that obviously speaks to how important he could be on the offensive line for a team that wants to run the ball and protect its franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
And defense. Yeah, defense, I would say definitely the linebacking core, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano. And I agree with you on the backup position for sure.
Yeah, and we saw last year what that looked like. Thanks, Jeff. If, you know, Milano goes out, Dorian Williams had a really fantastic year. He led the team in tackles. There's a reason Matt Milano's back in the starter again. And that's because they really trust Matt Milano in every situation to diagnose, to get there, to understand, you know, everything they're doing. On offense, I'll give you the name I think that jumps out to me. And it's really one of two guys maybe, but I think it's more importantly. Well, I don't even know if I want to say more importantly. I just think it's the two guys we've talked a lot about. I think it's Kincaid and Coleman. Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman. Like, if you don't get more from either of these guys than you got last year, imagine, let's play this out for a second. If you got the exact same year from Kincaid and Coleman this year than you got last year, that's not good enough. That's not enough. And we're having more discussions. And now you're talking about, are you moving on from them? Or, you know, at least Kincaid after his third year, not picking up his fifth year option, I should say. Is Coleman a bust of a pick? Like, if you're not getting any more than you got, and of course that takes into account the injuries. What if one of them hits? Okay, you got something here. That was a really, really big, important piece for this offense that guy hit. He's eating up targets, coverage, and whoever it is, Kincaid, Coleman, like, you can match up wise. Both these guys could be matchup nightmares for different kinds of defenses they play and different kind of personnel. And we're talking about the other one of, man, it just hasn't worked out yet. What if they both do? And if they both, now, I don't know how many footballs can go around to actually show that they both do, but what if they both do? And that just really changes what you're able to be on offense, right? All right, good discussion to start. When we come back, we're going to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean, his session with the media yesterday, a lot that was in there on the injured players, Max Harrison, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, things that he said about these guys, James Cook, that situation, and a lot more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Happy Friday to you. Happy Father's Day weekend to all you dads out there. Thanks for being with me here on a Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, before we get to Brandon Bean, let's get to Mike in Tonawanda. Hi, Mike, you're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Quick question, kind of on a topic, but a second and most important player, but mainly I had a question about Dorian Williams.
Yep.
Why would the Bills draft him in the third round as high as he did if they weren't going to play him? Obviously, they played him the year when Milano was out for a while, and soon as when Milano came back, they put him back in. And the same thing, too, a little bit about Jamarcus Ingram. I know you're a big Jamarcus Ingram fan, but like last year in the AFC title game here, why did they give him a shot for the Elam? Elam getting clipped all over the field. They didn't put him in, you know, and then.
Well, two separate questions. Hold on. Two separate questions. And I agree with you that Jamarcus Ingram should have got a shot last year, but the way the numbers are worked out and how he worked all week, probably in the slot or safety or something like that, and Elam was there. I agree with you on that. And that is a valid question, Mike. But when it comes to why would you draft Dorian Williams, if you're not going to play him. It's tough to make play anybody you draft. I mean, they drafted Terrell Bernard in the third round. It took him a year to play. They draft anybody. I mean, Khalil Shakir took him. Gabe Davis didn't really play until his second or third year, I guess. I could go through the list, but it's not like you draft these guys just because they've been starters. This is a tough roster to play on. You know what I mean? That's why it's a tough roster. Yeah. You have to draft for backups.
Of course. Yeah. And I'm just more or less looking at it like, you know, because by the time, say if this is Milano's last year here, now when you do go Dorian Williams, you know what, you got a year left on his contract before you got to decide whether, especially if he's good, whether you got to re-sign him or not. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, feel like, and I get it, you know, it's a hard roster to crack and everything, but I'm just looking at it like that. Even when AJ Klein had to come off the couch in the playoff game 2 years ago, they didn't trust Dorian Williams over that, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's a different, he was a different position. Dorian Williams is a weak side linebacker. AJ Klein's a middle linebacker. You know, I mean, look, I think, Mike, the answer to your question is, you know, you do your best every single year to stockpile depth. And then as that depth goes, there's injuries that happen. And then, you know, who knows what happens if Matt Milano is his last year in Buffalo, let's say, it doesn't mean Dorian Williams has to be the Will linebacker next year. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe he hasn't quite gotten to that point. Or maybe he is, and then you do decide. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with deciding after 1 year, hey, we really like, they've been in with you 4 years. You know what he can do. So I think you have to kind of just play it in the moment, and it's not a perfect situation sometimes.
For sure. Okay, thank you, Sal.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, we'll take a time. Or not take a timeout. We'll take you now to Bills GM Brandon Bean yesterday meeting with the media on the final day and after the final day of mandatory minicamp.
What's up, Madeline?
Is everybody good?
Everybody good?
Okay. Any update on Max? We know he got out of practice yesterday or today.
Yeah, he just a little tweak. Tweak is like hammy area. But he should be fine. He's getting treatment, so should be good to go. He'll rehab it and be ready to go for camp. No, I think Jimbo, our interactions with Jimbo have been good the whole time throughout. I know he wasn't here, so everyone just draws their own conclusions. When you're talking about it's voluntary, we know that. We've had it before. Even with players who weren't, you know, lobbying for a new contract or anything like that. But Jimbo's he's a pro. He's a competitive dude. He loves to win. Yeah, of course he wants to take care of himself. Everyone does, and we love to see that, and we love to see it here as many times as we can. We know we have to fit things within the cap and the cash structure and all those things, but no, it's great to see him. Monday when I first saw him here, when he came in for physicals and our goal meetings and stuff, but and then chatted with him a couple times. But no, it's good to see him, and he looks good out there. You can tell he's been working.
Are there any talks?
Yeah, I'll keep that between us as far as that's going. But relationship's very good, and I know Jimbo's going to be ready to roll, you know, when we get to Rochester.
Has he indicated that he will, in fact, be ready to go?
I mean, everything as far as I can tell, yeah. I mean, you'd have to ask him on that. I mean, he hasn't said, hey, I won't be there if there's no deal or any kind of circumstances. So, no, I believe Jimbo will be ready to roll. Whether there's a deal or not.
All up on Harris, what is your experience with rookie corners besides the fact they have to cover better players? What is the biggest transition?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a lot of times the schemes in college are not as complex. So learning all what's asked in an NFL scheme and definitely this scheme, you know, sometimes in college you just, hey, go play cat cover, just cover that dude and wherever he's at. Here, you know, we're going to want you to play man, zone, press, off. We're going to let you, you know, we're going to want you to do all that. We may blitz you. So it's just, it's a larger volume and understanding that and being able to communicate, you know, in the crowd noise, all that stuff. I don't know to how much they're doing that at the college level. I'm not saying they're not. I think it's program to program, but yeah, it's just getting all that, getting comfortable so that, you know, Max is a fast dude, but if you don't have all the, you know, all the coverages down and all the expectations down, you can't play as fast. So once he gets that, I think you'll see that speed that he's shown.
Are you confident that everybody who might have missed some time out here will be ready to go when training camp starts?
Knock on wood. Yes, I am.
You feel Joey Bosa specifically has progressed?
Yeah, Joey's done very well. I think it's this time of year, you know, I know guys are missing or some guys were doing individual, some guys were a little bit of team. You know, it's really this is about preparation, getting everybody ready for camp. And so if you've got any concern at all, why expose them? You know, they're doing walkthroughs. They're out there with their teammates. You know, I think yesterday Joey was doing a bunch of, you know, his own kind of drill work as far as get off drills, things like that a pass rusher would do. So, no, he's, of course, do you want him to have a setback? Do you want any of these guys? Do you want Max to, you know, tweak something yesterday? No, but it's football. It's going to happen. When we get to Rochester, it's going to happen. And that's why you got a 90-man roster to make sure the next man's up. And we stress that all the time. Just because you're not starting or just because you're not the second guy, you got to be ready to roll. You're going to get an opportunity, and the worst thing to do is not be prepared.
I was going to ask about Daquan specifically then. Is he nothing significant? You didn't see him out there today, Daquan Jones?
Yeah, it was a excused personal deal. Yeah.
Brandon, it could be about 17 or 18 of your starters this year could be your guys. How much has your philosophy changed over the years from when you got your best player available to now you can be more specific and fill those needs?
Yeah, I mean, you're always wanting the perfect formula is to draft, develop, sign those guys, because you got them right when they came in. You know what they're coming from. You're growing them into your culture, your system, how you do things, your habits, everything that we look for in a Buffalo Bill versus, hey, you're getting them from another place. They may have, some things may be similar, some things may be totally different. And so sometimes some guys are very malleable and they're like, hey, I'll go with the flow. And then sometimes they're like, man, I'm not used to this. I've been with Team X for 4 or 5 years. This is odd to me. And they struggle with it. So, you know, it's great when you can continue to do that. And the other part of that is where we are from a financial standpoint of paying the guys we've paid. And when you got a franchise quarterback, you have to have as many draft picks playing some kind of role. They don't necessarily have to start, but on this 53, man, you want as many of those guys as you can if you're going to compete year in and year out, you know, paying a Josh Allen, paying, you know, a Deion, two tackles, a Deion, a Spencer, you know, the guys that we've paid on the D-line, Ed, Rousseau, et cetera.
Hey, Brandon, you used the third-round pick last year on Dwayne Carter. Looked like he was ascending. He gets hurt, and then he's, you know, he's inactive in the postseason, which was tough for him, I'm sure. How do you see him fitting into that group up front?
I think Dwayne's come back with a purpose. I think he's really, you know, the wrist is not bothering him anymore. He did come back last year, but, you know, kind of like Keon was trying to work his way back. Hard to, you know, these guys have to shock and shed and get off, and, you know, easier for us to say to go do it than, you know, if you're the guy that's actually coming off the procedure that he had. But he's been here a lot this offseason, and I think he's working hard. I'm sure he knows what he's got to do. And I always like Dwayne's versatility coming out. You know, a lot of times we say this guy's a one tech or this guy's a three tech. Like, I think Dwayne gives you the versatility based on how your roster's fitting. You know, maybe he starts out and he's playing more one, but if we have a couple injuries, I think we could move him over and play some three for us.
How do you feel like Keon did respond this offseason? He was very blunt with us yesterday in his self-assessment.
Yeah, I think Keon has been focused, dialed in. You know, his agent and I have developed a good relationship who's, you know, he's actually kin to Keon. And so I think he was very blunt with him as well, just off of some of our conversations. And Keon can take it. Like, for a young man, I give him a lot of credit. It's not easy. Of course, anybody can take praise. It's not easy to take criticism. And he took it unbelievable, the things that we – and that's the thing I tried to stress to him when he got back is – you did a lot of positive things. Don't focus on just the things that we want to see improve. And he's worked hard. He's been here the whole time. You know, you can see when him and Josh were here that they're forming that rapport and kind of picking up where they were pre-injury last year. So I'm excited where he's at.
I know every job is up for competition. When you look at that backup quarterback spot, how much has Mike White kind of, you know, ascended into what could be a position battle for that backup spot in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, Matt. We're, you know, we don't lock a lot of spots in here. Obviously, we know number 17's locked in, but, you know, every year you pretty much have to come in and earn your job. And I know Mitch knows that. He doesn't expect any different. I think Mitch came in last year. We had just brought him back from being here, you know, the previous couple seasons. So he knows, hey, I've got to come out and show that I'm the right guy. Should something happen to Josh Allen, that I'm the guy. And Mike White has played a lot of meaningful snaps. We've seen it up close here. His time with the Jets and signed a nice free agent deal in Miami before they made a decision last year at the 53 cut to, you know, I think that was more of a financial decision. He was making pretty good money. And we put him on the practice squad and kind of thought maybe he'd get plucked at some point. But we were fortunate to keep him here and told him, listen, come back, compete, and let's make the best man win. That's our job, is for us to find the best 53 that we can. And so these guys will have all their opportunities, and Shane as well. Like, you know, Shane obviously got hurt last year and had to go on IR, unfortunately, with a tough deal. But, you know, he'll get his opportunities too.
What did you see the team accomplish this week?
I think this week has just been an extension, Maddie, of what we'll be doing this whole offseason. We've had very good participation. Obviously, it helps you add a guy like Jimbo, who hasn't been here. It's good to see him. But I think it's just been a good deal that doesn't really change much as far as what they've been doing. And we've had such good participation. kudos to our players and coaches and for what they've gotten accomplished and kind of marrying up these rookies with the vets and getting everyone prepared for what needs to happen between now and when we show up and then what that's going to look like once we show up to Rochester.
And how Keon has responded. What about Dalton Kincaid?
Yeah, I mean, Dalton, same thing. He's been here the whole time. And again, Dalton was really more of an injury thing that he fought through and nothing more than that. And like I said, you know, I think I've said this to some people. I felt like maybe I even probably was a little bit overcritical. I wasn't trying to be. I just probably could have done a better job of saying that. Like, hey, just, you know, they're going to try and be physical. You're battling an injury. Let's, you know, try and armor yourself a little bit more. But he's been here. He has worked his tail off. He is one competitive dude. I know you guys, he's a quieter guy, but he is, he's very competitive. He wants to do well. And I think he's had some good days out here, even when y'all haven't been here. But I think you guys have even seen it this week. And it's been fun to see him kind of get that confidence back.
He said it was a challenge early because he was still rehabbing an injury to get in the weight room. As he's kind of gotten to this point, has he kind of been able to ramp things up in there and maybe add some of the armor weight that you guys were looking for?
Yeah, he's definitely added strength and bulk, and we, you know, Will and his staff do a great job of kind of measuring these guys with different things, whether it's force they're using in the weight room or just getting on the bod pod itself and seeing what their body composition looks like, body fat, muscle mass, all that good stuff. He's definitely in a stronger position. I don't have the metrics or anything I would put out there, but he's definitely in a stronger position than he was probably this time a year ago. So, yeah, excited for Dalton. And you can see the confidence in the knee and the body out there, you know, as we went along, even from 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Logan Jovi and Hoyt. Sorry.
You're the most patient guy ever. I respect that.
I'm
yeah.
Go ahead.
You watched through this practice, right? There have been shoulders, not in pads or anything. But are there any positions that you're especially excited to see how it play out when you do get to Rochester in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I mainly spend a lot of time on the skills because we do we try and make sure up front, you know, the D-line's coming off, working their hands, just working their technique. O-line get hands on them, but, you know, we don't want them getting near the quarterback or falling all over each other. So most of my time is spent watching the skills right now. So, and again, when we start camp, we have to kind of ramp up in the same thing. So the first few days will look like this again. But once we get the pads on, it's definitely going to be a lot of time at O-line, D-line, those one-on-one pass rush, and then obviously when we're doing inside run periods and you know, blitz periods, things like that, I'm going to, you know, I'll be watching more of O-line, D-line versus the skills.
With Ogan, Jovi, and Hoyt, you know, you wanted to see as much as you could right now. Do you feel like you got what you wanted during these couple of sessions?
Yeah. I mean, I think those guys have been working hard. They've both been here the whole time, and we've discussed how we're going to map out, you know, their August, what that will look like, and then they'll have a plan. We'll put our heads together and have an exact plan of what it looks like. I think the rule is they have to be out of there for a month, and then we can bring them back 2 weeks prior to, you know, for those last 2 weeks. They won't be able to practice, but they can at least get back in the flow in the weight room, kind of get back in the flow of the daily routine here at One Bills Drive, which will be nice. And, you know, the way the schedule works out, I think we play six and then we have a bye. It'll give them an extra week to kind of get themselves in as close to football shape as they can. You can't totally mimic games or practices, but I thought that was a little bit of, all right, that's not bad. I'm not a huge fan of an early bye, but that was one thing I was like, that worked out pretty good.
What can they do during the bye? They can be in-house and they can
do things on their own. There's certain rules, but they can be here and use our facilities. We can't have coaches on the field with them, things like that. It falls into some dead period rules. Now, we can earlier in the week, but they have to have, I believe, a four-day off period. At that point, they can still be in the facility, use our facilities. They just can't have a coach technically coaching them.
What went into joint practices with the Bears? What did you get out of that last year with the Steelers? And what do you always hope to accomplish during that?
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, you want to see your guys against someone else because they kind of know if I'm a left tackle and I'm constantly blocking these couple ends, I know their moves. Like, give them some different people to go against, some different schemes, some different defenses. You know, our guys start to know you practice so much even out here, and then you pick up at camp. So just you start to get in, give them something new, and it kind of freshens things up as well. You know, you get tired of beating on the same people over and over, and that goes for both sides. So I thought last year the one-day camp, I really liked that because naturally somebody's going to get the better of someone on day one, and I've been in those where day two can be more of a distraction than productive. And so that's what our plan will be, to go there and have one legit practice with them. So very similar schedule to Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think Cole's been very dialed in, very intentional. He's been here a lot, kind of like we talked about with Dalton and some of the other guys. And no, it's, you know, a little tweak, but we were just, again, being precautious. I think if it was regular season, he would have been able to fight through it. But he's been very intentional. He's doing well. I think he's made some plays out there. He just needs as many reps as he can. So hopefully once we get to St. John Fisher, no setbacks and have a...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Full camp.
All right, that is Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean. After the team concluded its three-day mandatory minicamp yesterday. Next stop, training camp. Next stop for us will be John Scott at the top of the hour, but we got one final quick segment after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We got to get right back to break because John Scott, WGRZ TV2 sports director, is going to join me here, and We will talk about his observations from OTAs and minicamp as the Bills wrap it up yesterday. We get to John Scott after this here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody be serving.
I can't tell you how many people have said to me, oh, well, it's summer break now for you, right, with the Bills. And all that. I'm like, not really. Like, we still work. I have to do this radio show. But I get it. Like, I mean, you know, players are gone and they're going away. And, you know, coaches are going away. Front office for a little while. They're coming back. It is kind of like their summer break. Now, for kids here in Western New York, most summer breaks don't start for another couple weeks. I know some are off. Like, maybe in the next week or so, some high schools are having, like, exams, that kind of thing. I know my son doesn't get out of school for another, like, 2 weeks, basically. And then it really is summer break. But when people say to me, oh, what are you going to do for your summer break? I'm like, well, I'm going to Italy, but I'm still kind of working through most of the summer. So, you know, it's what we gotta still do that. And then we get to training camp, and then we get to, oh, it's the end of summer. Is that the end of training at the end of summer? I'm not sure. Training camp? Is it the... when the Bills start? Is it the Erie County Fair? What's the end of summer? So, you know, it's kind of in this space where, yeah, it's a bit of a break. It is for the players and the coaches, for sure. Yesterday was the end of mandatory minicamp. One thing I will not be doing is surfing, though. I am not a surfer. Maybe John Scott, as he joins me on the Wester Hotline. John Scott, WGRZ TV Sports Director, Channel 2 in Buffalo. Are you a surfer? Do you surf?
No. I tried... what is it? I don't even know. It was a version of it wasn't wakeboarding because my feet were not attached to the board. So I like had, oh. So it was like being on a surfboard, but like jet skiing, and I never was able to actually stand up. So it was an epic fail, and oh. That's the closest I've ever come to surfing or anything like that.
Yeah, and me neither. In fact, I will tell you that believe it or not, I've never seen the movie Point Break. Have you seen it?
Of course.
I haven't. And it's weird because it is. It's a classic. And, you know, the only reason why was because I'd be like, oh, it's a surfing movie. But then I realized years later, it's not really a surfing movie. It's like a bank robbery movie. And I'd really like it. But it got to the point where I'd never seen it before. So now it's like on my list of movies I just have to go back and watch.
Great Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, being an action star, which is what he's morphed into. And this was really the early going of it, going Point Break and the Speed, and then obviously The Matrix and now John Wick. Yeah, it's a great, great action movie that is surfing is part of it, but it is not the be all end all. And
right.
Keanu Reeves' character, former Ohio State quarterback. So there you go. You know it's got
to
be good.
Oh, wow. You had to throw that in there. Does Patrick Swayze dance in Point Break? I want to know.
He does not dance, but he's a great character on many levels.
Yes, I can imagine for sure. John Scott, Channel 2 WGRZ TV Sports Director. How about you? Like, how do you view the next, you know, several weeks, personally and professionally? Like, there's no Bills to cover. There's not a lot of sports. You got the NHL draft coming up. Just take us behind the scenes. What goes on in your industry, in your world, on the TV side of things?
Well, it's funny. At my previous station, I had so much time off that I legitimately would take off anywhere between 3 and 5 weeks, almost the entire gap between mini camp and training camp, because really there's no other period of time. You and I know, and obviously the listeners, I think, probably have a pretty good idea of it. The off season is really just this window in terms of the NFL. Yeah. I mean, it's with the Bills now playing deep into January, and then you go right into the combine and the owners meetings and the draft and then rookie minicamp. You really never have much of an off period covering the Buffalo Bills. So that's where when I look at my vacation time, it really is getting fit into this window. That's why also so many people who cover the team, our wedding anniversaries are in this 4 to 5 week window, because this is the time where we know we will not be busy with things. Currently, I don't have as much time off. I will take a couple weeks right before camp starts, but you're right. It's the we're still going to go build stuff. We stocked up some stories and things like that. We'll still talk about the team. You're right, the NHL draft is at the end of the month, so the Sabres will pop back into our consciousness for a brief period of time. And then, yeah, then you really get into July, and we start looking ahead to training camp. So it's a slower period of time in terms of fresh content and things where we're actually out and about gathering, but the show continues to go on, and you'll see us at 6 and 11 Monday through well, for me, Monday through Friday, and for the content, it'll be on the weekends as well.
Okay, so let's rewind then and go back before we, you know, fast forward. We don't want at the end of summer to get here too soon for training camp.
No.
Let's talk about what you saw in the spring. OTAs, mini camp. We were out there for a day each of OTAs. We get the 3 days full of mini camp. I'm going to ask you the same question I ask my listeners today based on what you've seen, what you've heard, how the roster is constructed. Outside of Josh Allen, who's the most important player on the Bills offense for 2025? And who's the most important player on the Bills defense in 2025?
So I'm gonna kind of cheat with both, because I'm going to give you two because I think they're linked on both offense and defense. I think Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid are the most important players on the Bills offense, because a lot of the reason the Bills didn't do anything you could categorize as drastic or bold or big in terms of an addition on that side of the ball is because they really are putting their eggs in the basket and believe as an organization that Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid will take substantial steps forward this season. And they need to if the offense is going to continue to push ahead. As much as Josh Allen is great and everybody eats is, I think, a good philosophy, you still need people to step up and elevate their games, and not make Josh Allen be Superman all the time or make Joe Brady be in his bag all the time. You need the players to make plays as well. And I think the rest of the roster, you kind of know what you got on offense. Like, we know who James Cook is. Can he be better? Sure. Do we know what Ray Davis is? No, but he's not someone you're going to count on. You know what Shakir can be. You know what Knox can be. At this stage of the careers of Josh Palmer and Curtis Samuel, I know – they maybe haven't played with quarterbacks the caliber of Josh Allen. I know what they are as players, so I know what their ceilings are. They've yet to be determined for Kincaid and Coleman, and that's why offensively I put them as the two most important players beyond Josh Allen. On defense, I'm going to start with Joey Bosa, because he is someone that you actually know who he is and was brought in to be something that this team has been searching for the entirety of the Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean era, and that is a prolific pass rusher that defenses have to focus on. And he's hurt already. But if he's healthy, you would like to think he can be the 10-plus sack guy that they have been chasing forever, that Von Miller didn't live up to because of injury and age, that Jerry Hughes wasn't, that Mario Addison wasn't, and the list goes on. Greg Rousseau is even not that, though I would maybe put him 1B to Joey Bosa, because if you're giving the contract on the assumption that there is more to get out of Greg Rousseau, then you need to get that. Because the pass rush, to me, is the ultimate game changer and swing for the Bills defense. There has been times where you see it be really good and how that impacts and trickles down to the rest of the defense. And you've seen time and time again at the most critical moments when their seasons have ended, the pass rush has not been there. So that's where Joey Bosa is a bit of a boom or bust signing by the Bills, their most significant move of the offseason, and that's why I think he is the most important player on the Bills' defense.
Interesting answers from John Scott. No Ohio State bias there, right, for Joey Bosa? That wasn't from that point of view.
Honestly,
right?
I forgot about – I mean, I didn't forget he went to Ohio State, but I was not even thinking that.
I love it. I love it. All right, so I agree with you on Coleman and Kincaid, and I think you can go right there with them. I'm going to go – to me, and I know that, you know, what you said is absolutely true. I think he's one of the top three for me. The two areas that I identified on defense for this, and let's get your thoughts on this. I don't know if it's a player, but it's a spot. Like, whether it's White or Hairston, whoever wins cornerback two is so vitally important to me, John, right? I mean, like, that's just such a big piece, because if you can stabilize that spot, everything else can flow into place.
Absolutely. The reason I think it, yes, that is an important spot, especially since there's more uncertainty there as to who it's going to be. One thing I will say is they have never really had like the major ceiling guy at cornerback two, but whether it was Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson, the list goes on. The cornerback two position, I think schematically, Sean McDermott and now Bobby Babich, who was also working in the secondary, they're really good at coaching up that position. And I think a lot of it is the scheme is you can't just plug and play guys in there, but you've seen guys like Jamarcus Ingram succeed when needing to go in there and guys of that nature. And the drop-off isn't strikingly drastic. So I think it's certainly the number one thing I'll be looking at on the defensive side from a position battle standpoint, and there's uncertainty. But I think I don't rank it as high, at least at number one, from an impact standpoint, because I just feel like that position is always – it's more of the what more can you get out of the position than they just usually get.
And speaking of that aspect of it, the other guy I went to, because – of the investment they put in him and the fact that he missed so much time last year in the beginning and it never got to where they wanted, and now he didn't practice again this mini camp, is Cole Bishop. Look, there's a baseline that they have at safety, and it was good enough, and it has been, and DeMar Hamlin has been. But, John, for what Cole Bishop was as a investment, a second-round pick, and for him to not, you know, fully get what he needed last year, and for this safety group to need a little bit more, let's face it, than what DeMar Hamlin gave. Not that it was bad, but they need more. I think he's really important this year.
100% agree. Our Jonathan Acosta sat down with him. We'll have that in the coming weeks to discuss rookie season transitioning into this big opportunity here in year number two. And you're right. But the big thing is, and I think Brandon Bean even noted it yesterday, he needs to be available. And whether they're being cautious with him and it's soft tissue or whatever it may be, the fact that they are even in this position once again to need to be cautious and slow play any sort of an injury, it's not a red flag, but it raises the antenna of concern of saying, why does this keep happening? Because it significantly put him behind. The mental side of it, the learning side of it, that is the most important part. And physically, I think from an athletic standpoint, that's where you're going to get the upgrade from someone like a DeMar Hamlin. But he has to know the defense, and that is where there has to be trust. And that is a phrase that I know you have noted to people regarding the number one thing that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich need to have specifically on defense and at certain positions, and I would put safety maybe at the top of the list. They have to trust you, and they have to trust that you know what you're doing, and you have to be on the field to earn that trust. And that is the number one thing Cole Bishop has yet to do at this point. And when he has been put on the field, it's been rocky at times. So I agree with you. And it's not just the can he beat out DeMar Hamlin. We saw Derek Forrest have some moments this past week. And I think he's an under-the-radar type of guy to not just dismiss as the, oh, he's the fourth safety, or he'll be fighting to make the back end of the roster. This is a guy who – emphatically made it known when he was introduced here, it is all about opportunity for me. When I've been given it, I have really played well. And when I haven't, that's why the numbers are what they are. This is the safety as a whole, I think, is going to be an intriguing battle between Bishop being available, getting up to speed and grabbing the role and fending off a challenger like Forrest, while DeMar Hamlin, who also hasn't been healthy, needs to not just be the guy that they know what they're getting. He also needs to make plays. I think all three of those guys, it's going to be fascinating to watch once we get to camp.
John Scott on the Western Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at John Scott TV. That's J-O-N, John Scott TV. Okay, the guy we didn't mention, James Cook. No, not signed yet. He did play at practice, obviously. He was in town. He did kind of leave the window open for maybe not practicing at training camp, but he said he would be there. But be it as it may, I thought it was interesting yesterday that Brandon Bean actually used the words with a contract or without one, like, which kind of piqued my ears up. Like, wait a minute, is there something going on back there? But how important is it for this team to sign James Cook? How important of a player is James Cook to this offense, given what the running back room looks like and how they want to operate?
I think James Cook has changed my feelings on the situation from a year ago, where I think the assumption was they drafted Ray Davis, they'll let the Cook deal play out, and then you can just transition Ray Davis in and everything will go on the same. James Cook has proven that he is not just a plug-and-play replacement-level guy. The Bills' offensive line is very good, and you have to give a lot of credit to the success of James Cook and the running game and the offense overall, of the continuity, those guys being together and playing very, very well. But I think it would be unfair to James Cook and wrong if you believe, oh, they don't sign James Cook, we're not paying him $15 million, just slide Ray Davis in, and you will get the exact same type of playmaking out of Ray Davis. I don't think that's the type of player Ray Davis is. I also don't think, though, that James Cook is a $15 million a year player, and I don't think this team will ever pay him or a running back that amount of money unless they're like Christian McCaffrey and your offense is running through him like that. And it's not. So I think James Cook is very important to the Bills offense. I do not think it is very important for the Bills to sign James Cook, especially now. I, for the longest time, and I'm probably still there, I think this is trending towards nothing gets done. We reach the offseason. Let's see what James Cook, his season is. And the Bills have never used it under Brandon Bean, but the franchise tag is sitting there. And that is something that I think is very much in play. Now, what does that do to the relationship and the dynamic between James Cook and the Bills? We'll have to wait to get there and see. He certainly wouldn't like it, but he'd get close to the dollar amount that he would want annually, but it would just be for one extra year. So that is kind of the way I have looked at this playing out for a while now. I do not anticipate anything getting done because I think that's going to mean Cook drops his asking price. And I think it's not just like, oh, you want 15, drop it to 13. I think it'd have to go to like the 10-11 range. And that's not because they don't necessarily think he's worth it more. They just, the Bills don't have, you can only pay so many people. That's what Brandon Bean has said countless times. And I just think from a positional value standpoint, they would not want to put that sort of investment in a player, even if they really, really think James Cook is impactful on their team.
We can't just talk about the Bills with a sports director of the NBC affiliate here in Buffalo. Sabres have their NHL draft at the end of the month, and they're going to be at the Bills facility in the war room. But the talk really has been about what they haven't done this offseason, and then, of course, what they did when they hired Jarmo Kekäläinen. From your standpoint, John, and you view from the outside, did they do enough this offseason in the front office? Did you expect more? Did you expect Kevin Adams to still be in his position? And do you expect more to be done with the roster?
Everything is played out from a front office standpoint, as I anticipated. Do I think Kevin Adams should still have his job? Probably not. If it's a results-based business, and he's been here as long as he has, the results are what the results are. And it would be unfair to put everything on Kevin Adams, but the roster isn't good enough. And so that's just the reality of it. But he's still here, and his relationship with Terry Pegula is well-documented. So I'm not surprised at all by that. The Kekäläinen hiring, good. Like, that position needed to be created, honestly, it needed to be created years ago because you have a completely inexperienced general manager who needed not to strip down the department around him, but to bolster and support himself with veteran-type people in the NHL to help him navigate as a first-time general manager with no really experience in the position or a front office whatsoever. As for the roster, I mean, we're not there yet. They got to make moves. I'm still sitting there saying, I know finding a defenseman to pair with Owen Power has been a topic of conversation, and the Bo Byram, we'll see how that all plays out and whatnot. To me, I think it's time for a big swing, which is Kekäläinen's history. I mean, that's really what he's known for, is taking big swings. I kind of liken him to when Tim Murray was the Sabres general manager, not afraid to make a big swing, whether it works out or not. I think they need someone also in the top six. Yeah, you see some good spurts from some of these guys, and you don't want to go too crazy. And scoring was not as much the issue as their defense. But I want someone in there that you know you're getting 30 goals every year. You know what you're getting. Like, yeah, there's maybe not the variance of these young guys, but the days of wishing and hoping and just running it back because you like your homegrown talent, I mean, this playoff drought has reached far too long, and they need to make the postseason. And if that means shipping off some assets that down the road, 3, 4, 5 years from now, are better than what you get, that shouldn't impact or stall the idea of trading those away for someone and acquiring a talent that, you know, I'm getting 30 to 35 goals, I'm getting 70 to 75 points, and being someone that you just night in, night out, first or second line, you know what you're getting.
Can the Pacers pull this upset? I know it's a tough team to talk about after what happened to your Cavs, but are they good enough to actually pull this upset over the Thunder?
They're unbelievable. I mean, of course they are, because they have – I would have said they were not good enough to beat the Cavs, not just because I'm a Cavs fan, but because it's a similar conversation I've heard people say about their matchup with the Thunder. Oh, the Pacers are like the Cavs, but the Cavs just have better players. And then the Pacers play like Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City, man-to-man, if you go across the roster, has better players. Yet they consistently are winning games, sometimes in historically incredible, unthinkable fashion, and other times they're just good. And Rick Carlisle is a Hall of Fame coach, and he's doing it again. Every stop he goes to, he gets the best out of these teams. And if you're Oklahoma City, they are a young team. They're a team who is expected with like plus 700 or minus 700 were the odds to win the NBA Finals. Now you're down 2-1, and now the pressure is on them. So let's see how the MVP, SGA, can handle that. The problem is from just an outside, like, I can't get into the series as much, even though it's a great series, just because they don't have the names. Like, Halliburton is very, very good, but he's not a superstar-type guy. His game doesn't do that. SGA is awesome, having a historic season, and he doesn't, like, flash the same way other guys, like an Anthony Edwards even, who Shea is better than him, do. So I love it, but it's still not as juicy of a finals matchup, as even though the basketball has been great, as we probably would have gotten from other ones.
No, I hear you. I mean, it's a big L for the NBA, only wants big markets in the finals, right? But I mean, it's really a fantastic series between two very well-built, well-coached teams. I'll say that for sure. John, what do you guys got going on over at Channel 2 over the next several weeks and into training camp?
So, as I said, we sat down with some Bills players before hitting, quote-unquote, summer break. So we're going to have that for you. I talked with Curtis Samuel the other day. Jonathan Acosta talked with Cole Bishop, Landon Jackson, and even talked with Reed Ferguson about his investment in the soccer franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to Buffalo.
Cool, yeah.
So Jonathan's a big soccer fan. So I was like, go ahead, do it. This is not something that is in my wheelhouse. So we'll have those things trickling out. And like you said, the NHL draft coming at the end of the month. And no Sports Talk Live. That is on summer hiatus as well. But we'll be doing some extra stuff as well to keep the fire burning.
Well, we don't get to see Paul Hamilton's smiling face, but we'll hear him here, and then we'll see him when you guys return, that for sure. All right, John.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Be good. I really appreciate you doing this today, and enjoy the next several weeks. And by the way, happy first Father's Day to you, pal.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, we're just we're going to get some brunch. And Heather was like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I just kind of want to hang out, and it'll be the final round of the U.S. Open. So
yes.
What is better than watching guys on a significantly harder course than I ever play, but looking more similar to how I seem to attack holes on a regular basis?
I have to tell you that's my gift every year, what I ask for. I say, you know what? I just want to kind of watch the final round of the U.S. Open. If something else comes up, we'll do it, but I just kind of want to chill and watch the final round, and that really is kind of my wish every year. This year, we happen to have a travel baseball game. It is kind of interesting that the coaches schedule a travel baseball game on Father's Day, but they always avoid Mother's Day, right? I get it. Dad's baseball, you know, you want to be together. So we'll do that. That'll be cool. So we'll have some quality time there. But that's exactly what I say. Just, hey, give me the U.S. Open. Watch the end of it, right? So that'll happen. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for sure, buddy.
All right. Thank you. And the U.S. Open, on NBC Channel 2. I had to get the plug in, you know.
I love it. You got it. I love the plug. Thanks, John. We'll talk again.
All right,
John Scott, WGRZ TV Channel 2 Sports Director. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, let's hear from Buffalo Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman. Always a fun meet with the media. And honestly, a very honest meeting with the media when he did this week down at Bills minicamp. I just want to give you fair warning here, Josh. You're going to have to play all these songs again when it's actually summertime, when the kids are out of school, because that's what we kind of do. But it is kind of summertime now, right? Because they're breaking, the football team. So be ready for that. That was a, is that DJ Jazzy Jeff, right? Is that who that is right there, Josh?
Yep, I think and Will Smith.
Is, right? And Will Smith.
Well,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Fresh Prince, sorry.
The Fresh Prince. Will Smith, that's right. But be ready for more summertime songs in the next couple weeks because it is that time of year. Got kids getting out of school. You got summer carnivals going on. You have mandatory minicamp wrapping up. The Bills wrapped up their three-day mandatory minicamp yesterday down at One Bills Drive. Everything you need to know at WGR550.com. And, of course, hope you're following me over on Twitter at Sal Sports. Make sure you're subscribed to me over on Twitter. And, of course, the YouTube page where you can get It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. So I got to tell you what happened yesterday, Josh. This is just terrible. So Matt Bove and I, we were like yesterday, we're like, okay, let's do a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. We'll give our thoughts, immediate thoughts. We go into the Bills media room. We're at the podium, like with the Bills thing behind us, like sitting where like Sean McDermott was sick, just like we did for the draft. We did a great half hour podcast. Technical difficulties. Could
oh,
not upload
no.
it.
That's the worst.
Yep.
I've done that
Everything
before.
Was
you
lost.
You record a whole show and then either the audio is bad and you didn't know it or something happened. Like, oh man, that's the worst.
I know. And we're like, oh, what do you do? And I had baseball last night. I couldn't do it last night. I'm like, we thought, well, we had to re-record. Now both of us are back in home in our own places. We know we can record like that. But yeah, we recorded a full half hour pod yesterday from the Bills media room and lost the whole thing. First time that's ever happened to us, by the way. But there was a Google iCloud, a Google Cloud issue yesterday, I guess, nationwide. Did you see that? There was
no,
a Google Cloud issue, and that impacted some of the servers or different kinds of platforms that you might use for your podcasting or video casting and all that, and it impacted us yesterday. So that's what happened. That's why you didn't get a wrap from Matt and I, but we're going to try and work on either something today, tomorrow. We'll get it out for you, but there was a technical issue. In the meantime, you can still go to Sal Sports on YouTube or subscribe wherever you pod. We still have our day one mini camp wrap up after from our observations and a lot more content for you. Check all of that out. It's always game day in Buffalo. And we heard from Keon Coleman yesterday as well before we lost our podcast. So let's get to that right now. Keon Coleman, second year wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills with the media yesterday.
What have you worked on to get to this point right now as we're almost at training?
Speed, technique, lifting, getting stronger, getting bigger, getting faster, putting mass back on, getting back swole, bro, so I can play physical and stuff like that. And then, other than that, just perfecting my craft.
How much did you learn from
myself? A lot about myself with self-assessments and stuff like that, talking to my coaches, strength staff, and things I wanted to get better at. Shout out Shavers. You see him out there, huh? Yeah. We see the same. You see what I see? Some good guys. So that's a lot, man. You got two great route runners in Elijah and Palm, and then you got LV at a lot of different variables to his game that he do a lot of great things. Then we still got Shades in that room, too. So we got a lot of depth in that room. Everybody pretty much can play every spot and make the plays that's made for them to make it.
Keon, when you talk about self-assessment, how did that work for you? Was it like when the season ended? Was it during the year you were seeing things that you wanted to work on? Was it somebody else coming to you, coaches, or somebody you trust going over things?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A lot of it, my brother for sure. We talk a lot. We watch pretty much every snap of the game. But, I mean, you do self-assessments after every snap, how you played, and then you get to the next play. And then after the game, you know different things you need to try to work on for the next weekend and stuff like that. So when you're going into the offseason, it's like those same things, and then you start to harp on them.
Like, if you look at tape and see things that you didn't do well, how do you inside?
You want to know exactly what I see? Man, that's trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. So if Jimbo break it, he up the sideline. Just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
How do you balance being frustrated versus motivated?
I mean, I don't really get frustrated. I don't really need motivation. Like, it's self-motivated. I come here every day to work. This is a job, but to me it's a hobby and a profession. So it's something I love to do, and I don't need nobody to hit me on the back to make me go even harder. Like, I'm coming with it from the jump.
I guess what I was saying is that when you watch those plays and say this is trash, how much does that, how do you balance that, you know, going, I need to be better here?
You just call a spade. It ain't no like, oh, that was trash. Well, I did do this right. Or, nah, it's either plus or minus, and that's just how you go about it.
What did you learn most about NFL
quarterbacks? You said, what did I learn most?
What did you learn most about, you know,
them guys don't change. You know, they get to the league. It's called the system. you really sometimes not even playing the cornerback. You're playing the defensive coordinator. So understanding his tendencies will help you understand how the corner's going to play. So it's like it's a bigger game than just you versus that guy. Because you don't just line up press man 99 snaps a game. You don't do that. It's a lot of different zone coverages. You got to know type of coverages that the DC likes to get to, the different techniques he likes his corners to play. And then you got to go a step further to understand what they're not comfortable playing, what they struggle at. So it's a whole game. It's chess, not checkers.
First couple of questions, so sorry if you were asked this already. Was bulking up, getting stronger, one of your significant focuses this offseason? Obviously, probably always a focus, but was there any extra focus placed on that this offseason?
Nah, it was just something I wanted to do. I mean, experimented with my body starting about age 16, so I understand where I want to be at, where I want to play at, so it's about getting back to that level.
What did that look like for you this offseason? You don't got to dive too deep, but what did you do to hopefully achieve that?
Hit the weights. Simple. It's a simple solution. As much time as you put in that weight room and you put into getting in shape and running your mechanics, you're going to get better. So as much work as you put in, as much you're going to get out.
Brandon Bean has talked about you a lot of times, about, you know, what they want and hope for in the future. His reference to as being young, and you were kind of young. Do you feel young in this league, or do you feel just like anybody else?
I mean, I feel like anybody else. The truth of the matter is, technically, I am young, coming into my second year, but I mean, it's kind of, we all on the same playing field at this point. No excuses get made for me for being young. It's like, is either plus or minus? Is either good or it's bad?
Given your self-awareness, how much better can you be in year two?
A lot. Yeah.
That is Keon Coleman, a very, very honest self-assessment of his year one and his offseason and going into year two. And the things that were said about him from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott were honest and critical for sure. Like nothing, you know, that was unwarranted necessarily or that was, I don't think, salacious, right? It was a talk though, right? When we heard Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about Keon Coleman at the end of the year, it was, I think you could use the word harsh, critical, but it was fair and it was honest. And what Brandon Bean said was he was looking really good. Then he wasn't the same player after injury. And McDermott kind of backed that up and said, look, this ascension he was on, but I think we all need to see him continue that growth, what you saw up through and up until that Miami game when he got hurt, and continue to build on that and the consistency and showing up, you know, knowing that, okay, I got hurt here, the recovery, the body, how that all is supposed to work at the NFL level. There's nothing wrong with not understanding that or knowing that or because you have never gone through it. There's nothing wrong with that. And Keon Coleman right there is his own self-critic and his biggest critic. And he said it looked like blank when, you know, he looked back on things that he did last year or didn't do. And I'm excited to see Keon Coleman this year. I think he could be a really not only important but impactful player for the Bills. We've been talking about the most important players. I think he could be one of the more impactful players for the Bills this year as well. We will take a final timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Friday, the weekend before Father's Day, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Okay, I actually did stay up for the overtime last night. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch the end of this game, watch the Oilers win, but let me just kind of keep in on it, because watching the game, it was 3-0. You thought, okay, Oilers are dead. Then bam, bam, bam. And then bam again. They take the lead. All right, 4-3 here. And I'm rooting for the Oilers. So I'm like, I want to see this. I want to see them kind of put this thing home. And sure enough, Sam Reinhart scores with 19 seconds left. And then you have to make that decision, Josh. And for you, it's different. You got to get up earlier than I do for the, you know, the morning show. And I'm like, do I go to bed and then wake up and see who won? Or do I stay with it for a little while? So stuck with it for a little while, and I figured I'll watch about 10 minutes of overtime. Well, 10 minutes becomes, you know, 15, and whatever time he scored, Draisaitl, I think it was maybe, it was about three quarters of the way through, it seemed like. I don't even know exactly. And then there's the goal. Oilers win. 2-2.
I was actually watching.
This series has been amazing.
I was watching when they tied it, because I saw, like, I was watching, I saw the first period when Florida just was all over them, and I was like, all right, well, this game's over. And then I see it's 3-2, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll turn it back on just to watch it for a little bit before I go to bed. And then they score, and I'm like, great, now it's 3-3. What do I do? Like, do I stay up? Do I go to bed? What do I do? Like, and I ended up just saying, you know what, I can just watch it back in the morning. I'll see what happens. But like, it's that, it's always that hard decision of like, what do you do? Do you stay awake and risk, you know, double overtime? Or what was that one a few during the bubble playoffs when Tampa and Columbus went to what, like four overtimes or something like that? Do you remember that?
Tampa and Columbus. Yeah. I don't know I remember it specifically.
It was like almost, either it was almost the longest game ever in playoff history or it was the longest game ever in playoff history. I remember it going to four overtimes, but.
Well, it wouldn't be playoff history probably. Because I mean, there have been five or six, I think maybe. Maybe there have only, I mean, Sabres went to four in a 0-0 game against the Devils. You know, they've been really long. But anyway, I mean, last night was it just kind of emblematic of this series, right? It's been a great series other than one game really was a blowout. But the other games have all been really close and overtimes. And Draisaitl gets a pair now in overtimes, which is amazing. Goes back to Edmonton. I don't know if they can do it, if Edmonton can do this. Remember what we talked about, though? I said this to you when a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago. I said, if you put a $100 bet on the Pacers and the Oilers to win these series, you'd win over $1,000.
Wow. Imagine if you did that.
Right.
Like, you got to be feeling pretty good right now if you did that.
Right. If you did it a parlay, because the Pacers were such a big underdog, not the Oilers, but with a parlay, you're still, you know, winning more money. And the Pacers now, they are up 2-1. They have a chance to go up 3-1 tonight. I hope everybody has a great weekend. And of course, happy Father's Day to all dads out there. And, you know, thank you so much for all that you do and taking your kids to sporting events or recitals or whatever, just being there and raising good human beings. And if you're a child who has a father that, you know, you want to give a great wish to, you know, make sure you do that somehow, some way, right? Just thank them in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be a biological father, a person in your life who's been a father figure to you, somebody who's just been a mentor to you. Father's Day can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. And it's been 32 years since I was able to physically tell my dad Happy Father's Day, but every year I still say to him Happy Father's Day, just like I do to all of you. Happy Father's Day. Have a great weekend. Derek and Zach are up next. They'll be in from 12 to 3 today. I'll talk to you again on Monday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.